with weekend greetings to Turdville. Turd Ferguson here. It is Friday, September 9th, 2016. It's a little after 3 o'clock Eastern, and we're recording this weekly wrap-up podcast while the markets are still open. Haven't even had a chance to see the cot yet, but if you recall, we have a pretty good idea what the cot's going to be. With the survey taken back on Tuesday and open interest and price both up, we know the cot is going to show a deterioration, so there's no point in waiting around to see the specifics. Because we are living now in what is turning out to be an extremely interesting month and will be an extremely interesting remainder of the year. I think everything up to this point was a preliminary. And now it is on. And I'm going to take some time here and get well out over my skis and try to tell you what I think is happening. Now, keep in mind, I'm just a dope out here in the middle of nowhere, okay? My job is to predict where the metals prices are going based on the fact that the metals markets are wholly and entirely manipulated by the bullion banks and that they paint the charts to make them look a certain way, to get the specs to do a certain, all that stuff, okay? That's why I have a site. For me to sit here and try to tell you what is going on globally across all global markets in a coordinated effort by the central bankers is almost kind of a foolish errand. I mean, who am I to say? Well, actually, how can I say when nobody knows, right? Everybody, even the smartest people out there, all the MBAs and PhDs and all these brilliant economists and bloggers, nobody knows what's going on. But I will, because I think I can. I will tell you what I think is going on. And thus, this podcast and getting it posted here even before the markets close. First of all, before we get started, let's take a look at the week in review in the metals. Okay, yesterday, gold was down and silver was down. And they both saw their open interest go back down. Remember, the open interest came rushing in back on Tuesday? Well, now it's headed back out, and I'm sure headed back out even more today. And check this out. For the week, okay, gold, remember, was up $27 back on Tuesday when all the data was terrible and the dollar was plunging and everybody was convinced that there ain't going to be no rate hike. As soon as the jawboning began and the ECB and everything else, of the $27 we gained on Tuesday, through today's COMEX close, we'd give him back 20. And in silver, it was even more precise. Silver was up 77 cents on Tuesday and down 77 cents Wednesday through Friday. And now silver's getting whacked on the Globex. I posted a one-minute chart earlier that showed after silver was hanging in there quite well, actually, at around 1940 to 1945 most of the day. And gold was hanging in there, too, mainly because the dollar-yen didn't move that much today. Nonetheless, silver was hanging in there until 1 minute before the COMEX closed at precisely 1:24 Eastern. Silver got hit for 5 or 6 cents as people were just like, get me out before the weekend, apparently. And now that has continued on the Globex. Silver, I have a last of just 1926. And it and gold are now both back below their 50-day moving averages. All that excitement. Hell, it was just late Tuesday night that silver was $20.23. And we've lost a whole dollar since then. And I'm telling you, this is why I choose not to play. I mean, if you're in there, you're just gambling at this point, frankly. If you're in there buying calls, puts, JNUG, dust, all that stuff, you're just gambling. I mean, as long as you realize that, as long as you realize you might as well just be at the local Indian casino or in Vegas, fine. Knock yourself out. You can do whatever you want. I can tell you, I'm not doing squat. I've got my miners. I've got my whole portfolio of miners that, at least as of yesterday, had doubled since I started buying some, a little bit at a time, last November. I'm no doubt, I didn't even bother to look and see what it's down today because the Hui's down 12 points. So I'm sure it's getting whacked pretty good today, and I'm sure it's going to continue to get whacked in the next week. But whatever. confident. I'm not going to dilly around. I'm not going to, oh, I'm going to blow them all out so I can buy them all back a few days later. I know what I have. I know why I own those things. It's a found money account anyway, and we'll just see what happens. Outside of that, I'm not doing squat, okay? Because this is all building toward 1 week from next Wednesday, the 21st. Did you know, Eric Sprott had to tell me this morning, the Bank of Japan's meeting at the same time, 20th and 21st? And I think now that little piece of information is what is going to allow me to, as I admit, get out over my skis, try to tell you what I think is going on right here, right now. And I think I can show you in the charts, at least in a way that at least makes my argument make some amount of sense. Okay? Earlier this week, okay, everybody became convinced again that Fed was not going to hike rates, regardless of how hard they've tried to convince us. All these Fed goons have tried to convince us for the last 3 or 4 weeks that they were going to. Okay? Remember earlier this week, I told you in Tuesday's podcast, I put things on Twitter that said that chart with that pennant in the dollar index, as soon as that thing gets to 94.50, you know it's coming. They're going to start doing everything they can to bounce it. Okay, well, we got to 94.50 yesterday morning, and now we're 95.50, as you can see on this pennant. Why is the Fed so concerned about the falling dollar? Right, we'll get to that in a second. It was also just 2 days ago, I gave you a chart of the 10-year German Bund. I said at the time, we don't talk about this all the time, but you better watch this, because on Wednesday of this week, it was down to negative 12 basis points. It was the lowest that it had temporarily, for a minute there that day, it was the lowest that rates had been since middle of July. And it looked like they were breaking down or was on the verge of breaking down. And I said, boy, it's going to have dire implications for Deutsche Bank and all the European banks and everything if that happens. And then magically, look at what has happened to the German 10-year Bund since I first gave you that chart. A huge move from minus 12 basis points to plus 2. So again, now make a mental note. The dollar's on the verge of breaking down. It magically reverses. The German 10-year Bund is rallying like crazy. Rates are breaking down. You're about ready to have massive pressure put again on all of the European banks, but specifically Bundesbank and Credit Suisse and all the ones, and Monte Paschi, all those ones that are in trouble. And it magically reverses as well. I guess what I'm saying here is I think we are now seeing direct manipulation. You know, we talk by the Fed to get the markets to do what they think they want them to do. And I think they're playing an extraordinarily dangerous game. Remember, we talked, I guess it was earlier this week, about the bond market and how it looked like it was safe and what it would mean if rates continued to go lower. Okay, well, look at what rates in the U.S. have done in the last 2 days. How many times have I shown you a chart that is moving consistently in a straight line up or down and pointed out to you that this is a clear sign of HFT manipulation? Not the spec HFTs, not the ones that trade stocks. This is somebody putting in a massive program, constantly buying, 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 or selling, selling, selling. I mean, relentlessly, to move something a certain way. Look at this 30-year U.S. bond yield chart that I have for you. Notice the timing of this rally, if you will, in rates, the sell-off in bonds over the last 2 days. Begins at around 6 o'clock in the morning, New York time, continues through the morning, and then flattens out. That rally from 222 to 232 yesterday, and the rally today from 232 to 240. So defined by those blue arrows. Note that those blue arrows are perfectly parallel. To me, that's a dead giveaway. Dead giveaway of what, turd? Somebody really large is in there dumping treasury bonds. trying to force long-term interest rates higher. Now, who would have the deep pockets to be able to do that? Only one entity I know of, Federal Reserve Bank of New York, Citadel, their trading group. That's what I think is going on here. This is an historic move, really, in 2 days. The long bond, as I said, was 222 2 days ago. It's now 240. That is almost a 10% move in that coupon rate. That is decimating bond portfolios. I mean, it is having a tremendous impact. And that's why I said the Fed is playing an extremely dangerous game. And what are they trying to do? They are trying to plow the field and get the landscape ready for a rate hike. They've told you, anybody that will listen, all these Fed goons, Stanley Fisher, everybody, that they want to hike rates, that they're going to hike rates in September. I have told you repeatedly that they can't for any one of a number of reasons. There's all these people out there talking about derivatives blowing up and all that kind of stuff, and that may very well be true. But the thing I've always hung my hat on is they're going to invert the yield curve. Can't hike the Fed funds rate to 1% when the 10-year note is 1.5, right? So if you want to hike the Fed funds rate by 25 basis points, well, you better move the long end by 25 basis points first so that when you're done, you've got the same yield curve as when you began. And now look again at that chart of the 30-year bond yield over the last 2 days. Do you see the Fed's influence? Do you see the Fed moving the bond market? It's exactly what's going on. It may not just be the Fed. It's probably the Bank of Japan, the ECB at the same time. Remember, they're massive holders of U.S. debt. They can do this easily. And I think that's what they're trying to do. And at the end of the day, why are they trying to do it? Well, one, if you can move up rates, go back and look at that German 10-year bond. Look at the one stock that was up today. I mean, the stock market when I came in here was down 300 points. Yet Deutsche Bank was up 40 cents. Huh. How about that? How do you save Deutsche Bank, Credit Suisse, Monte Paschi, and all those European banks? You somehow do anything you can to get those rates back up to a positive yield. Something positive, not negative. It's negative that's killing all those European banks. And look at what the Fed has accomplished in 2 days. And they've also rallied the dollar. And at the end of the day, that's what this is all about. Rallying the dollar, protecting it from falling, because if it falls, the dollar yen continues to fall. And the dollar yen, as you know, is the key algo driver of everything. So let me take you back a little bit further. Before we get in, we'll wrap up with gold and silver. Don't worry, I haven't forgotten about them. Now we're going to look at the stock market. Because again, this is the Fed's all-important baby. They think this is the be-all, end-all. This is the thing, the wealth effect, everything else. This is the thing they have to keep driving higher. And this is the very dangerous game that they're trying to manage. Okay? Markets were doing it all on their own for them, 2012, 13, 14, and 15. Because as the Bank of Japan printed yen nonstop, dollar yen got weaker, which meant the dollar, which the yen got weaker, which meant the dollar yen was moving higher. And as you can see on the chart, the first chart that we have here of dollar yen with the S&P, you can see that the dollar yen went from 75 to 125 in 3.5 years. All the while, the HFTs taking their cues from that, ran the S&P from 1,000 to 2,000. Imagine that. But then came an oh shit moment. Everything started to roll over. When the Fed hiked rates last December, and then the Bank of Japan went in an opposite direction and installed NERP, everything went haywire. Remember, the yen broke down 10% in 10 days, and it took the stock market with it. Until when? Until February the 11th, 2016. Remember that? That was a Thursday morning. That was a Thursday morning I woke up to see gold up $60. I couldn't believe it. Still, I reversed some, and it closed up like up 40 that day, but it got to 1262 in the overnight hours. Okay? You remember all this if you were a subscriber. Later that day, the stock market began to break down. And when it approached the lows from, I think it was last, I mean, I got to look at the chart myself to remember. When it approached the lows from back in early January at 1812, and it started to take that out at 1810, magically, suddenly it reversed. Go back and look at the Zero Hedge archives from those days. Magically reversed and shot higher. And what do we know happened? Because Madam Secretary, Madam Felon's day planner, her schedule is made public a month later. We knew a month later that at the exact precise moment that the stock market turned after it was breaking down through those January lows at 1810, Yellen was on the phone with Mark Carney of the Bank of England. And the market suddenly shot higher. The very next day, at the open, 9:30 Eastern, she was on the phone with Draghi. And the rally continued. And look what happened from there. An historic disconnect began. Because instead of the stock market going down with the dollar-yen, it had been tracking the dollar-yen almost precisely since 2008. All of a sudden, a disconnect at a 90-degree angle. Stock market shot higher while the dollar-yen kept going lower. If the stock market had kept following the dollar-yen, we'd be at 1,500 on the S&P, not 2,100. And then what would you have? Your chart right next to it has a big, huge bubble on it where I tried to lay all this out. February the 11th, 2016, the Fed's oh shit moment. The dollar yen had collapsed 10% in 10 days. The long bond had fallen to 240 from 3 in 6 weeks. Remember, rates were supposed to be going higher because the Fed was going to be hiking rates all this year. Gold peaked at 1262, and we know that. As the bottom fell out and began to break down, Mother was on the phone with Carney. The next day, she was on the phone with Draghi. And the rest is histoire. I think the Fed has done all that they can, and they can't keep it going. They know that they can't keep protecting the dollar the way they have. I mean, you saw it again. Remember, I told you this week, it's going to go to 94.50, and they're going to come in. I think now they are going, the reason they are going to raise rates, and they are working in conjunction with other central banks to make this happen. Now, there are multiple reasons. Eric Sprott laid one out this morning. Japan's trying to raise their long rates to help out their pension industry. I laid out for you why the ECB would try to raise long rates. Because they've got to get some kind of return for their banks before they all go in the toilet. And now you know why the U.S. is trying to raise long rates. So that they can raise short rates in 10 days. They're playing an extraordinarily dangerous game. And I think it's going to get pretty ugly. The first thing that they've got to watch out for is the S&P breaking down. Already today, like I said, it's back lower than it was in July. 2120 was always a critical level that it couldn't get through. Well, now 2120 is going to have to act as support for the S&P. If that fails, we could plummet to 2000 quickly. And again, as the stock market starts to plummet, it may be doing this before the Fed even meets. I'm telling you, we are in for a wild, wild run here over the next couple of weeks. And it may not end with that Fed meeting. I mean, that may just tumble more dominoes into others. But I'm sitting here, the only judgment that I can make, the only conclusion that I can draw, having witnessed what happened this week, but also all of the jawboning of last week and the clearly manipulation of the bond market the last 2 days, is that the Fed really is going to raise rates in September. Now, you can, again, maybe there's a political component to it. Who knows? Maybe they're just simply trying to do all the things that I told you about. And they're trying to manage the stock market back down, trying to manage the yen back down, okay, to make the dollar yen come back up. I don't know. All these different levers and pulleys. And that's why I've said you can't count on some dope out here in the middle of nowhere to have all of the answers. But I do think that this is how this is all playing out. And this is going to get extraordinarily dangerous for everybody. I'm not talking us. I'm talking the markets, global markets, in the days and weeks ahead. So I'm standing the pat, man. I'm not doing anything. I don't have any calls. I guess, no, I take it back. I've still got way out of the money now. October gold calls that are going to probably expire worthless, probably. They're almost worthless now. But I'm not buying or selling anything. What do I think is going to happen? Well, I'm going to refer back to a chart I gave you this morning's post. Those are your last two charts of the day. In gold, this is a one-year chart of the December COMEX gold. From that bottom on December the 17th last year, 1050, you extend a clear trend line that goes all attaches to those lows in May. We almost got there a week ago. I think we may get there. If not next week, maybe right after Leisman reads the Fed lines on the 21st. You'll notice that also that black arrow by then is going to be very close to the bottom of our little blue channel that we've been tracking since Valentine's Day. So I'm not doing squat. We're at 1334. This chart said 1337 this morning. It would not surprise me in the least. In fact, I would almost expect us to come back down to this 1310, 1315 area. Why would gold rally from there? Number of reasons. Why did it rally starting in December last year? Because the rate hike stuff was over with and the market moves forward. At the same time, gold may begin to catch a serious safe haven bid as the stock market melts down. And then all of a sudden, long rates start to sink again. The Fed, trying to be the master of everything, is befuddled. Wait a second. We are getting our flattening yield curve because everybody in the globe seeing the stock market meltdown is suddenly buying bonds again and we can't overcome it. And gold suddenly bounces from 1310, 1315 and goes from there. That's my plan. And silver, well, you can see that last chart. Look, I was very excited that we held 1850, and I was very excited on Tuesday when we got back above the 50-day, and I thought, oh boy, man, this looks really good. But there is no denying what has happened in the 3 days since. Okay? So it's very hard for me not to imagine, now that we've fallen back below 1950, that we're not going back to 1850. And 1850 was tremendous support. And it may very well be again. But I would offer you this chart. If you're looking for an opportunity, and I certainly will be, there's an uptrend here. It doesn't go back to December the 16th and 17th. This goes back to middle of January. Remember when the HUI uptrend began? There's clearly a trend line there. Notice the levels that silver has moved up from starting there below 14. That old high back there in early December was like 1480, something like that. Once we got through there, we rallied all the way to 16, but we inevitably pulled back to, by the end of February, 1480. By the time we finally got through 16, there in April, we went all the way to 18. And where did we pull back to? 16 at the end of May, and again, right on that trend line. So why wouldn't we be expecting now, after blowing through 18, a pullback? Now that it looks like that my 1850 wasn't the bottom I was hoping for. It may still be. Maybe I'll be dead wrong. I'm not willing to trade it. I know that. Instead, though, if the dollar's going to rally, maybe all the way back up to the top of that pennant, 96 something, the dollar yen's going to rally a little more, if interest rates are going to move even higher, why wouldn't gold back off to 1310? And why wouldn't silver get run maybe all the way back down to 18? That confluence of that old high, 18, 1820, back there at the end of April, and also where that trend arrow is. That's what I'm thinking. That's my thoughts. And again, I mean, that's 24 minutes. And I still feel like I haven't thoroughly explained what I'm trying to say. I love this format because it's so much easier to say these things than to try to type them. But I don't know if any of this made sense. So let's try to put it all back together. I am convinced at this point by what I've seen in the bond market the last 2 days that the Fed is plowing the field in preparation for hiking rates 25 basis points on the 21st. Because if they can get the long rate up 25 basis points before then moving up the short rate 25 basis points has not flattened the yield curve, right? Everything's up 25. And if they can do that, that will help the Japanese long rate go up, which helps them in their pension issues. As Eric Sprott said, it will also help the European long rates go up, which will help the European banks, which are on their deathbed and which NERP is killing. I think there's clearly a plan here to do that. And what the Fed is risking is that the stock market is going to really collapse. And it's going to get out of control. They're betting that they can control it. We're about to find out. All right. Come back on Monday. I'd love to be dead wrong. I'd love to have Monday be like last Tuesday. But do not be surprised if we are not in for some very challenging times over the next 8 market days. And maybe for a while after that. But in the end, I still think the last 3 months of this year, 3.5 months, are going to be a resumption of what was clearly a new bull market that began late last year. Thank you for listening. I hope this was helpful. Man, oh man. But we'll try again if it wasn't. Have a great weekend. Gird your loins, my friend. This is going to be a challenging period. We'll see you again on Monday. This is Turd Ferguson signing off, and I'm out.